Good morning. Good morning. All right. It is a chilly morning this morning, a little bit windy, but we are grateful for you being with us from wherever you may find yourself. Hopefully, it's not too chilly wherever you are. A few announcements before we begin this week. First, there will not be Tuesday night Bible study this week. I'm going to be on vacation this week. So we will have our final Bible study on Tuesday the 24th. There will be an email coming out later today to all of you letting you know about some different vacations and things. Gabrielle's going to be on vacation a little bit here and there, so the office will be closed, and so that information will be coming out later today. Keep your eyes open for that email. But just note, we will not have Bible study this Tuesday. Please note, our Wednesday meals continue. If you need any more information about that, reach out to the office. Otherwise, hopefully we'll see you if you need those. Also, a reminder that we are online only until further notice because of the state of COVID and the case numbers within our county and our state, following the guidance of the requests of the governor for safety and caution, and also the advice of our conference, who is urging caution as well. Two other things to remember. Advent take-home kits are being put together and available to be picked up. Starting next Sunday, the 22nd of November, we will have drive-through communion from noon until 1:30 here at Main Campus, and you can also pick up your Advent kit at that time. So if you don't want communion but do want an Advent kit, please drive through and pick one of those up. If you do want communion but don't want an Advent kit, please drive through and get communion. But if you want both, come and receive both. Also, I will be distributing Advent kits on Wednesday the 25th at the Mission Center, which is Hathaway United Methodist Church property, from 9 until 10. So those are the two times I have available. I had mentioned another time in our last email, but unfortunately did not check my own calendar before I did that. So I will not. So those are the two times, Sunday or Wednesday. If those don't work for you, let me know and I'll make sure we can get you one of those kits. It's going to have a build-your-own Advent wreath, some information about Advent, ways to make a luminaria for the season, and other things contained within it. So hopefully you'll come and snag one. And finally, we need you to help us decorate for Advent. So if you could build an ornament at home, make an ornament and drop it off at church, and we'll put that on our tree when we put those up for Advent to be included in our live stream. And also, if you could bring things for our altar that would be labeled with your name and what it represents. So we need things that represent hope, things that represent love, things that represent joy, and things that represent peace as we go each week in Advent to help our altar theme itself to the season. So if you would do those things, that would be immensely helpful to us as we enter this time. Now, let us take a deep breath and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship as we listen to our prelude.
Please join me in the call to worship. The time for harvest is close at hand. What have you done with the gifts God has given you? We have brought our gifts to the house of the Lord. Praise God for the gifts and for opportunities for service that they represent. We praise God for all the ways in which our lives have been blessed. Generous God, accept our gifts and our lives this day. Loving God, accept our praise and gratitude. Amen. Please join us in singing our hymns. Please join in our unison prayer. Wise and patient God, we know what you want us to do, but we are far too often hesitant to follow through for you. You give us multiple blessings and ask that we develop these gifts and use them to help others. In times of great crisis we come through, we mobilize. But in the intermediate times, we hold back. We develop a let someone else do it attitude. We often think of our gifts, our talents, as things that are less than worthy. In this country, in which competition is the ruling code, we don't want to compete with others because we feel we just don't have the right stuff. How blind we are, Lord. To each one of us, you have given gifts which can be used to help others. Each gift and talent is precious in your sight. Rather than compete with others to see who has the greater talent, let us use the gifts we have been given joyfully. One of the greatest gifts is the gift of prayer, and we have brought before you, Lord, the concerns which have been weighing on our hearts. Touch the lives of all these peoples and situations with your healing love. Give each one a sense of your powerful presence. Flood their lives with hope and peace. Help each one of us to be workers for you. Help us to trust in your abiding presence and love for us. Challenge us to use the gifts and to honor the giver, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue our prayers as we pray silently and listen to the pastoral music.
Lord, we gather this morning in many different ways. We gather digitally. We gather together, those of us that are here to help this service happen. We gather in our hearts, no matter where we are. And we hold many within our prayers as we gather. We pray for the family of Ryder. We pray for Deanna Johnson. We pray for Jay, for Lee Flagg, for the Terrell family. Lord, we lift up all of those in our church who are homebound. Sita Bivens, Sybil Plummer, Jane Perina, and many more who we hope are not feeling the strain of disconnection during a time in which personal connection becomes more and more difficult to come by. Lord, we gather this morning and listen to scriptures. We gather this morning and hopefully listen to you. We know that you are present in our lives as we journey. We know that we have all been given a great many gifts, that we would then put those gifts to work. We, Lord, are here with you in this moment, wherever we find ourselves. And we know that you are with us. So hold us and support us, Lord, as we seek to journey. And may words never fail us. May our prayers be ardent and steady. But may we know that you gifted us a prayer and words that we could say when things got tough and when words do fail us. That you helped teach us many things, but said to us, remember to pray. And pray we shall, as we join in the prayer which you taught us and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory now and forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls and children of all ages. I want you to think about some of the gifts that God has given you. Just think about that for a second. I'm going to look in my box to kind of help us out a bit. Maybe you're gifted with the gift of art or dancing, or maybe you're gifted with the talent of being in plays. Maybe you're talented intellectually and you're really good at school, or you're really good at sharing things like that. Some of you might be gifted in singing or music. Maybe you play a musical instrument. Even others out there are talented at sports. You might be the star basketball player or a great soccer player or somebody who tries really hard on your football team. I'm sure that all of us have been gifted by God with some talent or another. And you know, God gives us talents so that we can use them to better show other people how good God is. Pastor's going to talk to the grown-ups today about a story called the Parable of the Talents. And a parable is a story that Jesus tells to help teach a lesson. In this story, it starts with a man who goes on a long journey. Before he goes, he calls his servants into his house, and he says to the three servants, he says, Will you take care of my property? To one, he gives 5 bags of gold. To another, he gives 2 bags of gold. And to the third servant, he gives 1 bag of gold. And he goes off on his journey. While he's gone, the first man takes the 5 bags of gold and works really hard. He doubles the amount of gold he had been given. The second man does the same thing. He works really hard and he doubles it. And you're right. Instead of having 2 bags of gold, he has 4. But the third servant, who had been given 1 bag of gold, was afraid. So he took the gold and he buried it. When the man came back from his journey, he called the servants together and he said, How did you do? The first man shared that he had doubled his gold. The second man said the same. The third servant said, I buried it. At that point, the man became angry and he said, You buried the gift I had given you? For that, you get nothing. To the other, I will give them your money and they will be rewarded. What's the lesson for us? The lesson for us, boys and girls and grown-ups, is that we've all been gifted with talents, gifts from God. Do we want to bury those gifts so that no one knows them? Or do we want to use those gifts that we've been talented with to share with other people and show other people the love of God? I believe that's what Jesus is trying to tell us through the story, the parable of the talents. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are so thankful for the talents that you have given each and every one of us. I ask that you open our eyes so that we can see them if they're kind of hidden away. God, help us to find places to use those talents to better serve you and so that everybody knows just how great you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first scripture lesson comes from the book of Zephaniah. It's the first chapter, verse 7, and then verses 12 through 18. Hush before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has established the sacrifice. He has made holy those he has summoned. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the men growing fat on the sediment in their wine, those saying to themselves, the Lord won't do good or evil. Their wealth will be looted and their houses destroyed. They will rebuild houses but not live in them. They will plant vineyards but not drink the wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and coming very quickly. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. A warrior screams there. That day is a day of fury, a day of distress and anxiety, a day of desolation and devastation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and deep darkness, a day for blowing the trumpet and alarm against their invincible cities and against their high towers. I will make humanity suffer. They will walk like the blind because they sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like the dust, and their intestines like manure. Moreover, their silver and their gold won't be able to deliver them on the day of the Lord's fury. His jealousy will devour the entire land with fire. He will make an end, a horrible one, for all the inhabitants of the land.
Our second lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. Jesus was speaking, and he continued to teach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, 'Master, you gave me 5 coins? Look, I've gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Excellent, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me.' The second servant also came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me.' Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, 'Master, I know that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here you have what's yours.' His master replied, 'You evil and lazy servant, you knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown and that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers so that when I return, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth.' This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God." Now, on the surface, this scripture, both of our scriptures this morning, were not exceedingly what I would call happy. But both of them have a common theme in that they deal with, or seem to deal with, money. But they also deal with other things. But our parable seems to be about how to multiply your money to make it work more effectively for you. No, this is not going to be a sermon about Dave Ramsey. This is not about growing your assets, diversifying your portfolio, and getting yourself on the cover of Forbes as one of the top 500 CEOs in our country. If we take a deeper look at the teaching, we can see something different being taught by Jesus. It's a challenge to all of us about how we live our lives. Christ's teaching here is a litany of parables and other teachings that are about preparation for the return, for the meeting, for a new thing, and the end of the old. Now, if you're reading in a red letter Bible, you'll notice that our section of Matthew we read today is red. And in fact, it is taken from a huge section of Christ's teaching that is red. And this is a huge red block. And so these are things that we are being told Christ taught. And we cannot take then this parable and remove it completely from that context. We must use that to inform ourselves and to understand it a little better. We cannot simply take this scripture and say, this is a good one to use about stewardship or money management. We have to look at the broader context of what he's teaching about. Now, Brett did a great children's message, and if you don't know, Brett in his day job is a teacher. And as a teacher, I'm sure Brett is aware that if you took one of his lessons and just plucked it out and said, here you go, kids, here's a lesson, but did not explain to the children how it fit into the scope of the broader lesson, it wouldn't make any sense. They would probably be confused by, why are we learning about this? Or why is this relevant? And so we have to put things together, and so too do we have to do that with Scripture. So we have to understand that Jesus, as he is teaching in this whole section, is teaching about what it means to remain faithful to God. He has just gotten done talking about the temple and how it will be destroyed, and he's not super happy with the religious leaders in the time and what he finds when he comes to Jerusalem, and so he's teaching about remaining faithful and what it means to be ready always to meet God and give account for our lives, about what it means for us to be ready and to live as a new people, not beholden to the old ways. Are we a people who look to the future, or are we those who cling to the past? Now, in some translations, it says talents, in some coins. But what we need to know is that he was using currency of some sort as his metaphor. He isn't doing this because he's explicitly trying to explain to people, like I said, how to diversify their financial portfolio. He knows that for those who are listening, and those of us who are reading this now later on and hearing it said again, would understand the metaphor of money. This is one of the brilliances of Jesus. He talks in language and metaphor that his audience would understand, not examples that make no sense. So we can understand that when he is teaching here, it isn't just money he's talking about. It is our lives and all contained within them. It is our faith and our knowledge of it that we are being instructed on how to use and live. So I urge you not to read this scripture and ask yourself, how can I apply this to my portfolio? But instead to ask yourself, how does it apply to your life? Whose is it anyway? Is a question that hopefully we ask ourselves often enough. Who are we living for? Is this daily endeavor, getting out of bed in the morning and drinking our coffee or tea, and going on about our day from there for ourselves? Do we walk out the door in the morning, jump on that Zoom meeting in the morning, get out of bed in the morning for ourselves? Or are we living our days for others and perhaps even living our days for God? We have all been equipped with something, a gift, an ability, a life. But challenged with the question of whose is it anyway, we should grow up And hopefully as we grow up, we realize that the universe doesn't revolve around us. Now, I'm the parent of a 3.5-year-old, so this is something I encounter on the daily. This idea that the universe revolves around me and my needs and my wants right here and right now. I am hungry, feed me. I do not care that it is not lunchtime. But hopefully, as we grow up, we begin to recognize that the universe does not revolve around our every want, desire, and whim. That this life we live isn't just about going through the motions, just trying to survive each day, only to repeat the process tomorrow. We live in a world where we all need and rely upon one another and each other's gifts. But we must not think of ourselves as owners of these gifts, for we cannot hoard our gifts, especially not if we are to be disciples. If we are truly steeped in the Holy Spirit and attuned to the will of God, we cannot live for ourselves and engage in the sharing of nothing. So when we read this parable, and we think, wow, this guy did pretty good financially. He had 5, now he's got 10. And this guy had 1, and he's only got 1. The lesson is not so much go out and make more, but the lesson is do not live a life without engaging in any risk and hoard what you have only for yourself. Do not bury in the sand these things and hope that somehow magically it just gets to be yours, because we were not given gifts and abilities and talents and treasures and the ability to do things only for the use for ourselves, to benefit me alone. Can you imagine what our world would look like if we lived using our gifts only for ourselves? Your favorite movies, gone. Those books you love to read so much, none of that. We probably wouldn't have any printed paper because nobody would make paper and nobody would have probably figured out the printing press. Definitely wouldn't have driven to church this morning in the cold and the wind. I probably wouldn't be living in a house that would be very good, because I'm not big in construction, so my house would be built very poorly by myself. But even then, I would have had to go out and chop down the tree to get the wood to build my house, let alone how do I build cable, right, to run electricity in my house. It becomes very difficult if we start to think about a world in which we all only care about ourselves and we share nothing with anybody else. And Remember the Titans, which I talked about last week because it's just such a good movie, and sometimes I need to be reminded of good in the world, and then I watch it and remember that we are capable of change. But in Remember the Titans, there is Julius and Gary, and they are two of the best players on the football team. And while they are at football camp, they have an argument in which Gary accuses Julius of not helping the team, but only caring about himself. But when he does this, Julius points out to him that Gary does not play for the team either. He only cares about himself and maybe, in extension, his friends. And so he says to him, "You want me to kill myself for the team? What team? There's no team here." If we live and set a bad example, if we do not have leadership of holding others accountable, just as Gary learns, that we have to put the greater whole first ahead of ourselves. And if we cannot live in this way, then we miss and lose so much. There are those who tell us that being a Christian is only and all about our own personal relationship with Christ. That is the be-all, end-all, is how is your relationship with Jesus? That's all that matters. And while I agree that there is an importance to having a good personal relationship and prayer life with Jesus and God, I challenge and push back against this idea, because While we must grow in our own lives, that is not the only thing that matters in being a Christian. If we do not have any care for our neighbor or our team or our community, then we are lacking in our faith. If we live our faith as only about me, we miss the teaching of Jesus. If we do not invest ourselves in our community, share of our life and our experiences, our growth and our failings with others, if we do not share our faith in its entirety as it is woven and tangled up in our life, the faith that all of us have lived as it reflects the ways we failed at it and grown in it and struggled with it, then we miss the point. If we hoard ourselves and all that we have and all that we are from our neighbors and our world, it doesn't matter how good of a personal relationship with Christ we have, because we are decidedly lacking in discipleship. We live in a society that lifts up and celebrates those that have immense personal wealth. I wonder what they would make of our Zephaniah scripture for today. We celebrate those who have great talents in music and acting. I've watched the Oscars. We adore those who carry our favorite sports teams to victory. And we deride those who do not. Michigan fans know all about that with Jim Harbaugh right now. But we overlook those who do amazing things with their average everyday life. So do we celebrate the hoarding as if somehow accumulating millions and billions of dollars of wealth is something that we should lift up and idolize? Or do we challenge those who bury things in the sand instead of growing their communities? Our challenge, both in our lives and in our society, should ever be the call to grow in our faith, personally and socially, and to hold accountable those who do not live in this way. Let us look to the examples of those who spend their lives giving and building, and who embody humility and service, and who truly live. Christ teaches us how to live looking forward, instead of burying our head in the sand, hoping that things never change. He tells us we've been equipped to live into this vision through our faith. We simply have to tune in to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All of us have been equipped with the tools needed to be a person who lives for the kingdom. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, will we? You may say to yourself, my gifts are not meaningful compared to their gifts. But I say to you, every person's gift is meaningful and needed. When we look at our lives, our world, our communities, and our churches, we must ever ask ourselves the question as we make decisions and engage in the daily walk: whose is it anyway? Now let us join in singing our next hymn.
Still your children wander on.
We come now to our time of offertory. And I know that many of us are not here in person. But I know that, and hopefully you know, that no matter where you are, we can place before God ourselves. We can place before the Lord all that we are and all that we have been equipped by God to be. That we would remind ourselves that giving is not just putting something on an altar, but that giving, truly giving, is living. So as we ponder what it means to give with our lives, and how we go about our daily walk, let us have a moment of silence before we sing our doxology. And now, no matter where you are, home, in your, well, if you're in your car, this might be a little difficult, but please stand as you are able for our doxology. Stretch your legs, shake your arms, right? If you're here in the sanctuary right now, it's really cold, so get, you know, wiggle your fingers, get your blood flowing. But know that as we engage in a spirit of giving and offertory, and as we sing in our doxology, we give of our whole self and our whole life. Let us join now in our doxology. Please join with me in the responsive unison prayer as we conclude our time of offertory. Let us pray. O God, who desires good for all creatures, satisfy our hunger not just for food, but for freedom, truth, justice, and love. O risen Christ, you revealed yourself to us as one who gives to the poor and cares for all people. We dedicate our lives and our offerings to your service. O Holy Spirit, bless these gifts and abide in our hearts so that our gifts and our actions may live out our faith, glorify God, and bring forth a fruitful harvest for the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as you continue your daily walk with God, May you answer the challenge to grow. May you answer the call to think not only of yourself. May you know and acknowledge the gifts that the Lord has given to you. And may you be a person of discernment to always be on the lookout for a new gift that reveals itself in your life. And in all that you do and in all that you are, may the Lord be central to your journey. Amen. Now let us join in our benediction response.